So welcome to this retreat. Hopefully that you've all settled into your rooms. On this retreat, you've heard some of the instructions from Bianca and some of the instructions from myself as we start the retreat here. First of all, to take it easy for the first couple of days, because this is a very gradual and very gentle way of calming the mind down and getting it very, very still and peaceful so that we can truly see the nature of our body and our mind. This is a way of combining sort of samatha and vipassana, combining them together in a very powerful mix so that our mind can become very powerful, very still, very happy, and very, very wise. This is an ancient method, and of course that many of you have known me for a long time, been practicing and teaching this for many, many, many years. And this is very similar to the way that the forest teachers would practice. In those monasteries where I grew up, the monks would spend most of their time in solitude. We'd have our huts, and in the old forest monasteries, you'd maybe meet for lunch, which was early in the morning, more like breakfast than lunch, and spend most of the day just alone. Sometimes you'd come together for a cup of tea, and if there was any tea, most places not. But you spend most of the time just in solitude. And it's in that solitude where the mind does release itself, you know, from the burdens of your life, where it can let go of all the busyness which affects each one of us. So some of you have come a long distance. Some of you have come here a couple of days ago, some of you just today. But we all bring our busyness into this place with us. And it takes a while for all that busyness just to fade away and disappear. And in solitude, there is that opportunity for busyness to fade away. But in solitude, is only yourself to look after, only yourself to be concerned about, rather than all the other people, all the arguments, all the cravings, and all the busyness which come from when we have interactions. So, during this retreat, try not to interact with each other. No need even to have conversations with one another. And especially don't find an excuse that it's an important part of Dhamma, therefore I must discuss it with somebody, with your best friend or with your partner. Because one of the most important parts of a retreat is to keep what's been called noble silence. Although in the suttas, noble silence literally meant the second jhana and above. Nevertheless, the word noble silence has been used commonly in retreats to refer to keeping quiet. I know from the previous retreat which we had here, when we had a group from the Buddhist Fellowship here for a few days in Singapore, many of the comments were, can you please enforce noble silence more? So it's not just for yourself, it's for all the other people as well. So please, during the next 8 or 9 days, please be quiet. If after 1 or 2 days there's too many conversations, we do have some masking tape which we can apply to, to people's mouths to keep them quiet. But hopefully we don't really need that. Just your mindfulness and restraint should be enough. So what to do if you feel that you need to say something? Please go through the three reflections before you speak. Like three boxes you must tick before you open the mouth. And the first reflection is, what I'm about to say, is it really important? And if you ask that question silently to yourself and you consider, yes, it is important, then go on to question number two. And question number two, is it really, really important? And if you think, yes, I can tick that box too, then the third question, is it really, really, really important? And if it ticks that third box, usually the person you wanted to talk to has gone anyway, so you have to shut up. The point is that you don't need to speak. And all of this conversation which you have is really, has no purpose on a retreat. So please have that mindfulness and restraint. It's be very helpful for yourself, because you know, when the energy doesn't go out of your mouth, then more energy can come and stay in your body. So a lot of energy gets lost, you know, through the teeth. And so because of that, for those of you who sometimes get tired, you get dozy and dull, remember where that energy is just going to. It's just going out into the air, empty words. So please keep quiet. Now, that's for you to consider before you speak. But what happens when somebody speaks to you and they break their noble silence? Because if you say, you're breaking your noble silence, then two people have broken their noble silence. So what I advise you to do, if someone comes up and starts speaking to you, just put your mouth in front, your finger in front of your mouth, and just shh. Just to remind them that they're breaking their noble silence, and you don't want to get into a conversation with them. So, you know, the normal, the very international symbol, finger in front of the mouth, shh. So that way, you're not breaking your noble silence, and you're reminding others to keep quiet. And of course that also means your mobile phones. Don't worry, your shares, they go up, they go down, you don't have to keep checking on them. Your family, your wife, your husband, back in wherever you come from, doesn't matter, you don't have to keep checking on them. If they do run away with your best friend while you're here on retreat, good riddance. So that way you don't have to worry about your kid's operation or your uncle's death or whatever. I mean, whenever can you find a bit of peace for yourself unless you give yourself and take that peace with both hands? So please turn off your mobile phones and don't check your SMSs or texts. You don't need to. Try it. The world will not just disappear or go pear-shaped because you don't get involved. You aren't that important. So leave it alone. Give yourself this beautiful break. And anyway, you know, there's very, very bad reception in this area. That's one of the reasons why we chose this place. You'll find it very difficult to get a signal. And if I could make it more difficult, I would do so. So remember what you're here for. This is 9 days, and it's so hard to find an opportunity, you know, in your life when you can come to a place and devote it totally to your meditation practice. It is rare. You all know just this place, it took us 5-6 years to build, with a huge amount of money and resources. And it's not just money from lay people, even the monks worked very hard on this place. And we continue to work hard. Those here this morning saw me just looking after the backcode, doing some more work around the place. So remember just how much this retreat center cost. In work, in money, in funds. And how much it costs you to get here. all the arrangements which you had to make to find these 9 days. So don't waste them. These are precious days. So when you realize the value of being on a retreat, you don't want to waste any time with mobile phones or writing letters or talking. This is precious time. You know, the days and nights are relentlessly passing, said the Buddha. We're all getting older, and we seem to be accelerating into old age. And the day will come, and it won't be that long, when your body's too weak, too aching, too much pain to be able to meditate. And these are beautiful times for you. Many of you have been to retreat centers in different parts of the world, and I think you would know that this is probably the best in the whole world as far as comfort's concerned. How many other retreat centers do you have your own room, your own ensuite? How many other retreat centers do you have a place which is designed specially and totally for meditation? It's quiet here. It's comfortable. You get beautiful food. Everything is just there for you. So don't waste it. So when it comes to giving you 8 precepts, I don't need to give you the 8 precepts. You need to take them. And you don't need to take them from me. You need to take them from life. It's very easy, those precepts. Not deliberately killing, stealing, not committing adultery. In other words, no sexuality. So, you know, don't worry about who's a girl and who's a boy. Or if you're gay, about, you know, who's a hot guy or a hot girl or whatever. These are sorts of things which just wind us up. So we're not interested in this when we're here. And for those of you who are still going out with boys or girls, you'll find it's just a great relief to be in a place where all the problems and difficulties of sexuality, the attractions and the disappointments, are just not here. We're not getting involved in that. And that gives you a huge amount of freedom. Freedom to apply your mind to other things. And we don't lie, we don't take alcohol, or non-medicinal drugs. If you're a diabetic and taking insulin, please carry on taking it. I don't want you to die on this retreat. Not taking drugs doesn't mean not taking your medication. That's fine. I'm on constant medication at my old age. I have to take vitamin T 3 or 4 times a day. And you should all know what vitamin T is. A cup of tea. So we all have our little sort of things we have to take. So keep your medication going. By non-medicinal drugs, it means no alcohol, no cocaine, marijuana, but those sorts of drugs, but I don't think you have those here. Some of you might have an alternative to ecstasy, but that's not the pill. That's the deep joys of meditation which will come up. So you're allowed to take ecstasy, but not the sort of the pill. You're allowed to take it from the meditation which comes inside. I gave a talk in Sydney recently, sort of ecstasy without a pill. And you'll be sort of hearing about that later on. And of course, you know, we don't sort of have anything in any food in the afternoon. I think Bianca may have told you what that really means. You don't have solid food, but there's enough loopholes in there to have cheese and chocolate and goodness knows what else, fruit juice. So you won't get that hungry. And I think, did she tell you that as lay people, if you want to have milk or soy milk in your tea in the afternoon, you can do? She didn't say that? Okay. But, you know, not to have a whole bottle of milk. But, you know, if it's just, you know, a little bit of milk in your coffee or whatever, usually on my retreats I allow that, a bit of soy milk in there. Just take it easy, but nothing solid. Except if you are sick, you know, you may be taking some medication and the doctor says you have to have something solid. And you talk with Bianca and then you just have a slice of bread or something simple. And that's just the sixth precept. Remember, this is not punitive, it's just simplifying. We've always got leeways to make sure that you're comfortable, which is a main purpose. No entertainment, no singing or dancing. So if you do get enlightened, please don't sort of dance a jig and don't sing a happy song after you've got into jhanas. You know, keep it quiet. So no entertainment. And also no sort of jewelry, no makeup, nothing which is going to enhance, you know, your body. So obviously, you know, you wash and maybe make sure you don't stink and smell, but, you know, nothing more than that. So we're not sort of enhancing our sort of our attractiveness. And of course, lastly, just we have simple accommodation. And simple accommodation, no high and luxurious beds, never meant sleeping on the floor. Not even the Buddha used to sleep on the floor. Sleeping on a bed, I think 7 inches high was the limit. And that's actually from the floor to the underside of the bed. So your beds are simple. And it's quite allowable for the 8 precepts. So have a nice bed. So these are the 8 precepts. You know what they are. So just keep them. And as far as the talk is concerned, don't talk. Keep quiet. Now, when you're eating, just do it quietly. I know that at first it's quite strange. You're sitting around a table and other people there, you're not having a conversation, because usually when you eat, it's a social event and people talk to one another. But here, this is not a social event when you eat. It's just the opportunity to actually have some food so that you have a healthy body. So, keep it quiet, no talking while you're eating. And of course, you know, if somebody breaks those rules, it's not up to you to sort of go and report them, you know, and put a little note on my seat, so-and-so by this name spoke again. Can we please kick them out? Can you put them in detention? Really, it's up to them. It's up to each one of us to keep our precepts. And anybody else's misbehavior is none of our business. It's their business, not ours. So we look after our own quietness and our own silence. And we have the opportunity here to walk, to sit, and to rest, to eat. But whenever you are in this place, you don't always have to sit meditation in here. Maybe early in the morning you can go outside if it's a beautiful cool morning. You can meditate on the stupas or on the grass. You can meditate in your rooms and just sit in there like being in a cave. So these are resources you can make use of while you're here. You don't always have to sit right in this room. Sometimes people find it useful to sit together because they get more energy with other people around them. But if you prefer the solitude, you know, of your rooms, you can close the windows, close the shutters, and you are like in a cave and meditate in there or meditate here. And as for walking meditation, we have the walking meditation halls. With I think about 32, if I remember correctly, 32 little walkways, the little rubber mats which you can walk along. That's usually for slowish walking. There's also many other places in this compound, you know, even the verandas or walkways, covered walkways in front of your cottages. They're designed wide enough that you can walk along there and people coming and going can pass you without any problems. There's also other little places around this area, you know, on the other side of the dam, you know, halfway up the hill, many little quiet places you can go also to do walking meditation outside if you wish. So you don't always have to walk in the same place, but the reason why we put the walking meditation horse next to this room over here is for convenience, so that you can sit, and when you get a bit sore, you think the sitting meditation is enough, you just get up and it's not that far to do some walking, and when you finish walking, it's not that far to come back to your seat. And that way it means that there's not too much opportunity for distraction between your changing of postures. And of course, you know, for those of you who have come to my retreats in the past, that, your bedroom is there, your bed is open at any time of the day when you feel really tired. So usually when you're coming to a place for the first time, the first night is never a good night's sleep because you haven't got used to the new surroundings. So tonight, I'm not sure what time you're going to bed, but you'll usually find if you're here for the first night, it's not such a good night's sleep. It takes a bit of a while for the body and the mind to accustom itself. So we don't keep a strict schedule. It's not like in prison or in school when it's lights out at a certain time and everybody must be up at a certain time. Here, we trust you, and we respect you. We respect that you're here, you've come a long way, and you're here for meditation, not just hanging out. So you're all highly motivated. So the first few days, just be mindful of your body, and be compassionate to your body, so you just know how much you need to sleep. And usually, as I've said, the first few days you'll find naturally you feel that you want to sleep a little bit more than usual. The reason is because here you are not rushing around. You don't have all of these duties to perform and schedules to meet. Here, this is your time. You are free. You don't have to get to work at a certain time. You don't have to have an appointment at a certain time. You don't have all this work to get done by a certain time. You're totally free here. And you'll find that the first day or two in such freedom, your mind will just want to catch up on its sleepiness. It's what in psychology they call sleep deficit. So, please, if you feel tired, rest. For those of you who think you're tough and think, no, I'm going to push through my sleepiness, the more you put effort like that, the bigger your ego becomes, the more you're craving, and the further you go away from the goal of peace and enlightenment. Our job is actually to work with our body, to be a friend to our body, and no longer regard our body like a slave, always having to follow our orders. For much of your life, if you consider deeply, you may have regarded your body as a slave, with you as its master or mistress, telling it to get up, telling it to exercise, willing it to compete in sports, and forcing it to work hard, to drive hard, stay up late, always forcing this body. It's one of the reasons why the body gets sick and gets illness, because we don't befriend our body, we try and control and exploit it. In this meditation class, do not exploit your body. Respect your body. Listen to the body. And look at your body like a friend, not as a slave. So there'll be times when your body says, I'm tired, I need a rest. Listen to your body and take it to bed. There are times when the body's got energy, so no, I don't want to rest. Maybe 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night, later on in the retreat. Listen to your body, see what it wants. It says, no, I'm happy, just meditate some more. Listen to your body when you're eating. If it needs a little bit more, have a bit more. So don't think, I shouldn't eat so much, I shouldn't sleep so much, I shouldn't do... All those sorts of ideas, please throw away. And just listen and follow the body, especially for the first few days. I've been teaching meditation for a long, long time. And I know through experience of teaching, those people who go hell for leather for deep meditation the first few days, just really stuff up their brains, get tense and get nowhere. Those people who go gently in the first few days, who look after their body and build up this sense of care and ease for the body, they're the ones in the middle of the retreat and later on they really do well, because they're not fighting their body. They're befriending their body and working with it rather than against it. So if you do feel like sleeping for the first few days, sleep. Be natural rather than following some clock or some idea of how much you need. So you get up whenever you feel like getting up in the morning. You don't really need to worry too much about the breakfast. Is it 7 o'clock the breakfast? 6:45 the breakfast. You will all wake up in time for 6:45 breakfast. That won't be any problem whatsoever. And the same as lunch, 11 o'clock lunch. You all know what time lunchtime is. So sometimes you just meditate and just keep things natural. That way you are developing something which I call the magic combination of mindfulness together with compassion. Now I know that sometimes the word mindfulness is used and praised and forms a central part of most meditation retreats. But you will find that mindfulness alone is not effective. You do need mindfulness together with kindness. When those two go together, they are very powerful and they do lead you to very deep states of meditation and great insights. So remember, not just mindfulness, mindfulness with compassion, with kindness. And of course, you begin that with your body. You're aware of your bodily feelings. You're aware of its energy level, its health level. And you are kind to that, compassionate to the body. If you're aggressive to your body, forcing it and saying, no, this evening I'm never going to go to sleep before 11 o'clock every evening, and I'm going to get up at 3 o'clock. Yeah, come on, I can do this. This is going to be my goal. That is not what meditation is all about. It's all about being kind and compassionate with mindfulness. And you find if you're mindful and compassionate to your body will be supple and will be amenable. It's as if you're kind to your body and your body becomes kind to you. You'll find the aches and the pains just don't come. And the energy of the body is there for you because you're not fighting it. And then you find the body is light, rather than being stubborn. Sometimes what happens when you meditate, the body just doesn't want to meditate. There's an ache here and a pain there, and the body just doesn't want to get comfortable anywhere. And you often wonder, why is that? Why is the restlessness of the body? It's all because you haven't been kind to it. You haven't looked after it. And so when it comes time to meditate, your body is going to rebel. It won't let you meditate. And please remember the story of the Buddha. Before he became enlightened, he tried to control his body. He tried to subdue his bodily feelings with all the 6 years of asceticism. And of course, you know that he got nowhere. And as soon as he realized that that was not the way, that's when he started the middle way. Now that middle way, what it means, the first one is Kama Sukhari Kanu Yoga. It's not to be attached, get involved in the happiness of the five senses. That's called Kama Sukha. In other words, not worry about seeing beautiful sights or ugly sights. Not worry about beautiful or ugly sounds. Not worry about smells, tastes. Not worry about physical pleasure or physical pain. Try and let that go. But also to let go of the other one, Atta Gilamatanu Yoga, which literally means, Kilamata means tiredness of the body, of the self, of your body and mind. So that tiredness, that was actually the other one of the two extremes. And I like that word tiredness. That's a literal meaning of the Pali. Because it means that when you push yourself, when you stress yourself, you just get this tiredness, this dullness, this heaviness of the body and of the mind. And that comes when you put forth a lot of effort. So if you just relax more, you'll find that whatever energies come are very natural energies rather than forced energies. They're not coming from the ego, from the sense of self. They're just bubbling up because it's a natural cause of things when you're still, when you don't do things. And that way your energies are rising. And unfortunately it does take high energy mind to get into deep meditation. The dull minds just can't get that far. So one of the first jobs of this meditation retreat, the first goals is to increase your mental energy. You don't do that by putting forth effort. You do that by relaxing. It's one of the key teachings. It came from Ajahn Chah. That's where I first heard it. But later on, you saw it in the suttas. To have a powerful body, you need to exercise it. But to have a powerful mind, you have to keep it still. The energy of your mind comes from stillness, not from effort. Remember that, it's important teaching. So your job is to rest the mind, to keep it still. Keep it idling like a car, rather than putting into gear. And if you can do that, you find the energy starts to grow naturally. This is just the nature of the mind. So you rest, make your mind peaceful as still as possible, and you just observe and watch your energy level grow as the retreat proceeds. Naturally, you feel like getting up earlier in the morning. Naturally, you feel like staying up later at night. And this is not forced. It's not because you decide. It's just the way you feel. And this is a good sign that the mind is getting energized and the mindfulness is becoming strong. You will find that the less you control this meditation retreat, the more you let go, the less you're a driver and the more you're a passenger. You're mindful and kind, responding to the mind rather than deciding beforehand what the mind should do. Then you'll find this meditation retreat will bring you enormous peace stillness and joy, even bliss. It's just what happens. So remember, this is not you doing the meditation. If you think that you can get into deep meditations, that you can get insight, that you can get enlightened, you're missing the point. You have to get out of the way, first of all. You have to disappear. And what do I mean by you getting out of the way and disappearing? I mean all this will and controlling, all this doing and choosing, all this striving and complaining. That is the obstacle of meditation. So learn how just to be content, happy to be here. This is good enough. Just being in this moment, being here, rather than thinking it's not good enough and trying to get somewhere else. You have spent your whole life going somewhere else, trying to get somewhere else, trying to change this for some pot of gold at the end of jhana. And that's not the way to meditate. The way to meditate is to stay still, be where you are, don't move, and allow things to not really evolve, but involve. As you find through stillness, things disappear, they vanish, they fade away, and when they fade away, they reveal the next stage of the meditation. The mind is like this beautiful jewel, and it's wrapped in a cloth, and that cloth is put in a box, and that box has got wrapping paper on the outside, and that wrapping paper is enclosed in cellophane, and the cellophane is put in the shopping bag, and the shopping bag is put in your car, and your car is put in this ferry. So you've got so many containers. So you have to take the car out of the ferry, you've got to take the shopping bag out of the car, you've got to take the cellophane container out of the bag, you've got to take the cellophane off and get the wrapping paper, and you've got the wrapping paper off to get the box, and then you take the box apart to get the cloth, and inside of the cloth is the jewel. It's one thing inside of another. And that's why just what you're experiencing right now, in this moment, right here with you, you've got enlightenment and jhana, all sort of in the middle of what you're experiencing now. You just need to unwrap this moment, take all the coverings off it, which is why you need to be still. And don't move, don't go anywhere. Walking meditation paths. The reason why we walk backwards and forwards rather than we walk, you know, in circles is because backwards and forwards, you know, you're not getting anywhere. You're going up and back again, always ending up where you started. It's a wonderful meditation. You're walking for no purpose except just to be walking. You're meditating for no purpose except just to be here. So remember that. You're not doing this to get something. You're doing this to be here. To be here in every moment, as fully as you possibly can. And then the moment will open up, and you will see the truth, the Dhamma. Of course, during the retreat, I will give you many, many more instructions on meditation. Those are basic ones, and I usually just talk about the same thing again and again, but in different ways, just to keep it interesting for you. But really, all you need to do is to sit down, shut up, and let go. And all these things just happen. And the reason why that I put forth so much effort into building a place like this, why I love teaching, is because you know just the incredible power, bliss, profundity, wisdom, and just sheer happiness which come out of meditating. If you do it properly, you'll have a wonderful time. And then not just for ecstasy, not just for bliss, but for the profundity, the message which is involved in that bliss. The great insights, the deep insights which change your whole life. You all know that the very first meditation retreat I did as a young student at Cambridge gave me a bliss better than sex. I always call it that way. And of course, once you get that type of happiness, it changes your whole life, which is what I want for you. For you too, to be able to touch a taste of freedom inside, a taste of deep peace. So peaceful, so still. It's the most joyful thing you've ever experienced in your whole life. Empowering your mind. So all of the teachings which we might give, all of the talks, and my goodness, I think, I don't know how many talks was available on iPods, just of mine, let alone all the other monks. You have heard so many talks. You've heard so much information. All you need to do now is to stop, be still, and let the Dhamma come to you. So for the next 9 days, your job is to do nothing at all. Really do nothing. Something I'm not sure, I probably did tell this at Nolamara recently, but some of you from overseas. It was a monk joke. Apparently this monk told a layperson, the layperson told me about this guy. I was seeing his friend rang him up. He said, "Can you come and help me this afternoon? I'm busy." He said, no, "I'm busy too." "What are you doing?" "Nothing." "Okay." And he rang him up the next day. "Look, I really am busy. Can you give me a hand?" He said, "No, I can't. I'm busy." "What are you doing?" "Nothing." "But that's what you're doing yesterday." "Yeah, no, I'm not finished yet." So don't be finished doing nothing. See how much you can actually do nothing. So you can really learn how to relax and empty the mind and be peaceful and be still. This is the way of Buddhism. For all of you who think you're going to get somewhere by putting forth a huge amount of effort, there are people who have far greater willpower than you have. They don't get enlightened. The way to get enlightened is to go in the opposite direction. Just before the Buddha became enlightened, he put his bowl in the river Nirmala and made a determination, if my bowl floats against the current, may that be a sign that I will become enlightened. It did flow against the current. And it also taught the Buddha how to be enlightened. To go against the stream of craving. What do you mean to go against the stream of craving? You know what craving is? I want to be peaceful, I want to sit a long time, I want to get deep in meditation, and I want to get jhanas, I want to get soul, I want to get insight, I want to see the lights, I want to heal my cancers, I want to sort of... All this stuff which you want, it's called spiritual materialism. It's wanting, it's craving. We've got to go against that stream of craving. Say no to want. Say no to desire. Hopefully you all saw that sign at the gate as you came in here. "Stop," it said. You know what that meant? That was the first Dhamma teaching as we get into this joint. "Stop," it said. When you go out, it's got the other sign, "slow." But when you're in here, "stop." Outside, "slow." So please remember to stop. Stop running around. stop wanting, just like that, stop. And then all the meditation becomes very beautiful and very peaceful. So this is just the basic instructions, just to get you going. Tomorrow morning I'll give a proper talk, and in the evenings there'll be the opportunity for questions and answers. After tomorrow morning there'll be opportunity for interviews. But this year, instead of just putting your names down and saying, you're here this time and that time, I'm just going to leave it for people to put their names down if they want an interview. And I'm going to limit everyone to no more than 4 interviews for the whole retreat. You just put your name down when you feel you want one. You don't have to have 4 interviews, but that's the max for every person. And of course, if you have an interview, please don't have an interview asking about your marital problems or your investment advice. Please keep it to meditation, so that when you understand the nature of the mind, all these other problems in your life, they all get fixed up. So no questions about the problem with your kids and other such stuff. Keep it to meditation, how to keep the mind calm and peaceful. So you just focus on this one thing and keep that your main priority. Just how to stop and be still. So, has anyone got any comments or questions about this beginning of the retreat? If not, we'll end here. And those people who want to go back to bed, please go back. Those people who want to sit a bit longer, you can sit a bit longer. But you don't get any extra points by sitting longer than anybody else. The last person who leaves this room is usually very proud and stupid. I've seen people do that. So they say, I'm going to be the last person to leave this room. Maybe they've got their wife in. I'm not going to go to bed before her. I'm not going to be beaten by her. So remember, don't worry about other people. If you're tired, you go to sleep. If you are energetic, you stay here. And we see you tomorrow morning. I think the schedule usually is usually some chanting. I think we do the chanting at, is it 6 o'clock? Has anyone seen any program? Rodney, you've been here for long, every retreat, ever since I think I came to Perth. Is it 6 o'clock we usually do the chanting? Oh, thanks a lot. 6 o'clock, do a little bit of chanting just to sort of keep the vocal cords going. And then 6:45 breakfast. So, you can come up for chanting if you want. If you don't, you can chant in your sleep. And breakfast at 6:45. And afterwards, at 8 o'clock, we have the morning talk. Okay, so I'll just give more instructions as we go along. So have a nice time, take it easy. And just remember, mindfulness plus compassion. Put those two together. And good night.